Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe Ledford on WDCU Daniel Clark Let's Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, April the 17th, 2013, our last show of the week. Of course, we'll be back with you next Tuesday and next Wednesday at our usual 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock slot. We're going to be thinking about changing some things up. I'll be joined in a few minutes, as always, by co-host Ricky Clark. I'm calling you, or talking to you, from the Highland Creek studios of WDCU, Daniel Clark, Let's Talk Radio, on Blog Talk Radio on the Internet. And tonight's program is brought to you in part by the good people over at Player Sporting Goods, 5737 North Graham Street in Charlotte. Their phone number is 704-598-7966. You can go online and reach them at www.playersls.com and ask for Ashley, who will take care of all of your Internet needs. Or you can go on in the store. There's just something so special about being in a sporting goods store. I say it every week, and I mean it every week. There's just something neat about going to a Home Depot or a Lowe's. And the smell, the tools, I mean, those are really great things. And being in Players, looking at the new products and whatnot, and I'll tell you, if you are planning on making purchases for your team and you're thinking about football, folks, those uniforms don't get made overnight, so you need to go ahead and get up with the folks over at Players, once again, on Graham Street. That phone number is 598-7966. And those of you that want to call in and be a part of this show tonight, you can call on that Player Sporting Good guest call-in line. That toll-free number is 888-689-4061. I want to remind you, though, that if you call in on a mobile phone or a wireless, charges will apply, so that's why we went ahead and got that toll-free number for you so that you can use your home phone. And that Player Sporting Goods guest call-in line is 888-689-4061. And there's some exciting things that Ricky and I are going to be talking with you about tonight. We're going to get to the draft later on in the show, but we've got a fella, Andrew Merce, who's going to be our producer, and we've been talking with Andrew, and we're going to make some modifications to this show. We're going to be putting together a website, and on that website, we're going to encourage high school coaches to post your, and athletic directors, to post your scores. We're going to have a place for middle school folks to do the same thing, because we do want this show to go in a direction where we are trying to reach a high school and a middle school audience, because there's so many other shows that provide all kinds of really good information about the pro scene. We're certainly not going to ignore that. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to be talking about the draft a little bit tonight. But we do want to expand our audience into local high school. That's the Charlotte and immediate area. And, you know, Ricky, I'm excited about some of those changes. I'm excited about having someone who wants to help us with this show, because we've been doing it for about a month and a half now. I'm enjoying it. I know you are. And so we're looking forward to some really big things.
Yeah, 15 shows. I counted them today. It doesn't seem like that many, but, yeah, been 15 shows, and I've enjoyed every second of it.
You know, and I tell you, fella who's enjoying his day, you know Bruce Harden. I've known Bruce Harden. Bruce has been a coaching fixture in this area for years. You know, I mean, Bruce coached at Harding High School, then over at A.L. Brown. Then he coached at Providence High School, did a little college coaching at Army. And I see that, you know, both of his sons are now head coaches. Justin has just been hired to be the new Providence head football coach. And Blair Harden, who I think just did an outstanding job at Porter Ridge, taking Porter Ridge to two consecutive state championship games, finished second twice. And folks, there is nothing wrong with being second in the state at your school classification. But, you know, Ricky, you got to think about it. Bruce coached his boys over at A.L. Brown, and now they're both head high school football coaches. I mean, you talk about keeping it in the family. I'd have to say that right now the Hardens are probably high school football's first family in North Carolina. Congratulations to Bruce and to his sons, Justin and Blair, three head coaches in one family. Of course, Bruce is now over at Providence Day.
Joe, it's hard to get your kids to follow in your footsteps, whether it's coaching or being a painter, plumber, athlete, any of it. It's just really, really hard to get, because usually kids want to do the opposite of what their parents did. So that's an amazing feat, and I hope Bruce is enjoying it.
Well, you know he is, and I tell you, he's not as young as he used to be. I actually ran into him over at a at a football show that that David Butler had over at Players about a year and a half ago, and it was good seeing Bruce. He's not a spring chicken anymore, but I tell you one thing, the older he gets, the more he seems to get football. If there's a better football coach around, I don't know him. He does a great job, and his sons, Blair is now up at Freedom in Morganton, and Justin is at Providence. Providence will always have a tough road to hoe because they're going to play with Butler. They're going to play with Independence. Audrey Kell is coming on in football. East Mecklenburg is getting better in football. But you got to say this for the Hardens. The Hardens know how to get it done, and we certainly, from this show, would like to wish Justin and Blair Harden the very best as they start their new head coaching positions. And Ricky, as I'm looking through today's paper a little bit to try to track down some of these high school scores, I got to be honest with you. I've heard people say the Charlotte Observer does not cover local high school sports. And when you have a Panthers team in town, when you have the Charlotte Knights playing regularly, when you have the Charlotte Bobcats, it's true that high school sports can take a little bit of a backseat from a media perspective. But, Coach, I know there were a lot of games played in Charlotte yesterday, and yet I'm looking through, you know, I was looking for some of the high school baseball scores so that we could pass on, and I just don't see that many. I do see that Charlotte Christian beat Charlotte Latin 19-0. That's amazing. I mean, it is amazing that those two schools would play to that kind of score. Yeah, Covenant Day beat Gaston Christian 11-1. West Lincoln beat North Lincoln 6-0. Providence beat Independence 6-0. Charlotte Catholic beat West Mech 16-1. And I tell you, Coach Clark, I remember that was a time that West Mech set the standard for baseball in this county. Butler beat East Mecklenburg 8-6. South Mecklenburg beat Rocky River 7-5. And Myers Park played a really good game against Audrey Kell, beating Audrey Kell 3-2. And over on the women's side in softball, Maiden 5, South Iredell 1. Metrolina Christian beat Northside Christian 12-0. Charlotte Catholic beat West Mech in softball 15-3. Now, there are a couple of other scores. I see that Providence Day beat Cannon School 12-1. Covenant Day beat Queens Grant 11-1. Now, high school coaches, this show is going to be an opportunity for you to showcase your program. That website will be set up soon, and we're going to want you to jump in. We're going to want you to let us have information about your teams, what is going on at your school athletically, and we're hoping that we will get your youngsters to be calling in. You know, Ricky, I'm also looking at the college baseball scene in the ACC. Florida State is leading the Atlantic Division. They're 31-6. But listen to this. In the Coastal Division of the ACC, North Carolina is 35-2. Now, Coach, that is cooking with gas. The Tar Heels really have it going on in college baseball. They won yesterday, beating Coastal Carolina by a score of 5-1. And locally, North Carolina State beat Charlotte. I still call it UNC Charlotte. They want me to call it Charlotte. They beat them 2-1. The 49ers had a chance to tie that game, and the tying run got caught in the rundown and was tagged out at the plate. Coach, what do you think that we can do to encourage folks to call in their scores? Because I want to talk about them, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. We want to make a commitment to do the local sports scene first, and then kind of branch out from that. You stated earlier that you were struggling to find scores and the Observer, so that's a void that we want to fill. You want to get your athletes recognized. Kids play harder when they know they're going to be recognized and appreciated. So, you know, if you're a coach and you're listening, stay tuned for that information because it's going to be coming down the pipe pretty soon.
Coach, in the next week or so, as soon as the high schools get into their playoffs, if our producer can pull it off for us, I'd like for us to go out, once our middle school season is over, I'd like for us to go out and do a live show from one of the state playoff high school baseball games, bring, you know, let folks from both schools give them an update of what's going on at that game, and actually talk to some of the fans and the folks at the game, and That's something I would really like to do. Get out there at a high school baseball game, have our show live where people can You know, people can hear it, people can participate. And so we really do want this to be an outreach to middle school and high school athletes. We want to encourage them to call in if they want to. Brag about yourself. Tell us how your season's going on that player, sporting good guest call-in line, 888-689-4061. And Coach, I know you had a busy day over at the middle school, and we had ball games going on. You know, you had your track practice. We had boys and girls soccer going on. We had had the Ridge Road crowd over. You know, that's a rival game for Martin. We had baseball being played, so maybe you didn't get to see this, but apparently Reggie Bullock, who had said last week that he was going to stay at North Carolina, has decided that he is going to go ahead and enter the NBA draft, whereas Michael McAdoo, a sophomore forward, has decided that he's going to return to North Carolina. How do you feel about Bullock going to the NBA, and what do you think that does to North Carolina?
Again, Joe, it's like, you know, if you get a kid that's a quality athlete, you're almost looking at 1 year, 2 years at the most. How do you build a program when our kids are making a 1 year, 2 year commitment? At the end of the day, it's going to come down to the schools that can get these kids to commit for 3-4 years. Those are going to be the premier programs. You know, if I can get my juniors and seniors playing against your freshmen and sophomores, I stand a much better chance of beating you. I think it's
I think you're right about that. I think that, and you know, you and I are both big advocates of youngsters staying in school. Last night I had said that Al Wendell was going to join this show. Last night Al's mother came to town, and he had to ask me if he could come on next week, because he's going to talk to us about having played college football in Charlotte and then going on to the University of Virginia, and then his son went and played at the University of Virginia, and he just finished his playing career this past fall and got to attend a former players' dinner with his dad about 2 weeks ago, and Al was talking about going up to that, and he's going to talk about how special that experience was for him. And I'm sure he's, you know, you think about how proud he is of his son. And I recall a couple of weeks ago, might have been longer, when you and Randy Bolton on this show talked about how important your playing career was. And that went beyond the game, the social experience, the networking, the being part of a brotherhood of, you know, called the Winston-Salem State Rams football team that you and Randy were. And I think that these kids that leave early do miss out on that. But more important than that, most of them miss out on that education. And, Coach, I understand that report cards have come out, and we have some unhappy kids at Martin. And we say on this show how important grades are. Why don't you talk about that for a minute, if you would?
Yeah, we have a track meet scheduled tomorrow. And, you know, eligibility is by semester in Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools. So the kids from Charlotte Mecklenburg standpoint is eligible, but most of the athletes' parents, if there's an F on that report card, they're pretty much done. So it's going to be interesting tomorrow. You know, we've done progress reports for the last 2 months, trying to make sure that we keep on top of their grades and that type thing. But you know, every now and then they, you know, have a couple of them slip through the cracks and not turning in homework, that type thing. So, you know, tomorrow we'll see.
And, you know, Coach, I know that you've been very supportive of parents in that decision. And, folks, I will tell you, Ricky Clark is not just a coach. He's a parent. He's a role model. He is the ultimate role model for young men over at James Martin Middle School. And nobody wants to win more than Ricky. I mean, if Ricky and I out there playing tiddlywinks, he's going to want to beat me. I mean, that's just who and what he is. But, Coach, I can tell you there have been so many times that I've seen you in your office talking to parents. The kids got the tears running down their face. But that parent, when they pull their kid out of that athletic event because that child has not made a sufficient grade to meet that parent's expectation, I'll say that parent is making the right decision almost 100 times out of 100. Would you not agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, They have to be held accountable. They're students first, and then athletes. And you know, when they figure it out, then we won't have that problem. But we're never going to encourage parents to let kids play if they are not pleased with their effort. I don't know many teachers at all, not just in Charlotte, but I don't know many teachers at all that will not help a kid that's trying. That's putting forth the effort. We have tutoring twice a week over there. You know, where have you been? What are you thinking? You know, that's the problem with young people. Tomorrow is never gonna come for them. Well, it's here today. It's here today, and we'll see. Like I said, it might be a very interesting track meet tomorrow.
Well, and you know, you're right about backing those parents, and we've seen parents make the wrong decision about their sports. There have been too many times where we have seen parents who are more interested in their children's athletic progress than they are their academic progress, and athletics is a huge part of it. And folks, don't misunderstand me. We love it. We love doing it. We're already talking about, you know, one, whether we're going to coach football next year, and two, if so, what we're going to do. And yet, it is so important, first and last, and more important for Ricky Clark and myself, is to see these kids with a 3.0 or better. The minimum standard is a 2.0, but at the same time, Coach, C is average, and we don't want the young people at our school to be average. We want them to reach beyond that. Now, there are some children that average, you know, C is as good as they're ever going to do, and there's nothing wrong with that kid making that C, but young people, if you're listening, and you're capable of making an A, and you settle for a C, what's that about? Why are you making that choice? You shouldn't be making that kind of choice. You should be deciding that you are going to be better than that. And, you know, Coach, I know you've had high expectations for your children. I've certainly had high expectations for mine. I got to brag a little bit. My family, well, actually my wife and my youngest daughter and I will be trekking over to Scotland to watch Megan, who is our oldest daughter, who's concluded her doctorate at the University of Edinburgh. So we have Dr. Ledford in our family. She's a rookie teacher over at Myers Park High School. I'm very proud of that. And I don't mind telling you, Megan played on a state championship softball team, the Magic, and I'm very proud of that. I am so much more proud of that wall of A's that she made all the way through elementary school, middle school, high school, undergraduate, and now she is at the, you know, she has completed all the requirements to be called Dr. Ledford, and that's quite an accomplishment, and that is as important to me as any of the home runs she ever hit. The play she made at first base, I'm thrilled that I had a part of that, but I'm so much more proud of the fact that, you know, she has finished her doctorate. Patrick's set to graduate from University of North Carolina at Charlotte in less than a month. And my youngest, Ashlyn, is doing real well in her sophomore year up at North Carolina. And so, Coach, there are a couple of other kids that athletically that came through our place that we need to mention tonight, because the men's track team finished third at Big Taco Bell Relay event last weekend. There were four Cougars in the top 10 in their events. Aaron Jenkins, that's a familiar name to you, 110 hurdles and 400 hurdles. Jerome Beatty, 400 hurdles. Nolan Corcoran in the long jump, and Danielle Deese in the girls' discus. Now, Coach, I'm sure you remember both, you know, Aaron and Jerome. We used to call Jerome Beatty. I believe he's going to North Carolina A&T to play football as well. And so it's great to see some of the kids that came through our place doing well in their track and field events. And I know you are especially fond of Aaron, and for him to finish in the top 10 in the 110 hurdles and the 400 hurdles, that's a pretty good accomplishment for him and for Jerome in the 400 hurdles. Hurdles is a tough event, isn't it, Coach?
Well, absolutely. You know, we just always try to push kids toward just giving the effort. You know, it's we always say that there's 80% of the kids out there that's going to do just enough. If you can be in the other 20%, you'll be successful. You know, Beatty was one of those kids. He was undersized as a football player. I always felt like if he cut his hair, he would run a little faster, but that never happened. But he always gave it 100%. So his success or him being chosen to go to A&T is what we expected of him.
And, Coach, we have Rod Smith, who has been a guest on this show before and who asked to join us tonight because it is time to talk about a big event that's going to take place, I guess, a week from tomorrow. Rod, thank you for joining the show tonight. You know, do you remember the night before the draft when you were at Notre Dame?
I do. I actually I flew home 2 days before the draft and hung out with a bunch of the guys I played with in high school and got back late, quite frankly, to the house, probably around 2 o'clock. And
call back. I believe we're back on the air now. We had a problem, and so I believe we're back live again. I apologize for that. But apparently there was some issue that was interrupting some shows, and if you'll bear with me just for a minute, I'm going to try to resurrect this show. I'm going to see if I can't get Rod Smith to call back in, and because he has a unique experience. He has a unique ability to talk to us as a guy who sat around that night before the draft wondering, was he going to be drafted? Where was he going to be drafted? And, you know, I'm hoping we can get him back on. While we were off for about 10 minutes, I did talk to Rod, and if we can't get him back on, he will certainly be with us next week. Ethan Horton has said that he was going to join the show. Ethan, of course, went through the same thing with the University of North Carolina when he was waiting to be drafted, and he was the 15th player taken in the draft. Coach Clark, are you back with me on the show?
We're back.
Well, you know, it's amazing that the Internet works at all. I mean, you know, you and I are old guys. We're both in our late 50s. We grew up in a generation where, you know, I remember when copy machines were the new thing. I mean, Coach Clark, I remember when I first started practicing law, if we wanted duplicates, we would use something called carbon paper. And so if you had a typo, you had to go and make a correction on 3 or 4 different copies of something, and then word processing came along, and boy, did that change, and then here comes the Internet. And for folks who are our loyal listeners, we do want to apologize to you for the interruption in the show. We're hoping that Rod's going to be able to join us again in a few minutes. But, you know, Coach, we do have a big draft coming up. It's going to be huge for the Panthers because the Panthers and the Bobcats have simply got to get better. You know, as we were talking the other night about the NBA teams who were, you know, into the playoffs and the ones that weren't, there's nothing more frustrating to be a fan, to be a loyal fan. And your team is just futile. It's just futile what they do and how they do it. It's frustrating. What do you see as the Panthers' needs?
You got about 20 minutes.
It's about what we got left.
I know they're going to go out the line.
As a matter of fact,
no, they need linemen, but I'm really not pleased with this play in the secondary on defense. I think the receivers need to step it up, or we need to bring in receivers. The Panthers have more than one or two needs, you know. And I think they're drafting 14, and from what I can tell, they're going to go after a D tackle. That's the word, is that they're going to go after that kid from Missouri, that Sheldon Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go after a D tackle.
Well, you know, Coach, I am looking at. I actually ran some mock draft scenarios, and of course, you never know who they're going to draft until they actually do. But I'm looking at the Scout Inc.'s top 32, and at 14, which is where the Panthers would pick, they say the 14th best player is Tavon Austin, who's a wide receiver from West Virginia. You know, WalterFootball.com has its listing, and it sees the Panthers taking Kenny Vaccaro, a safety out of the University of Texas. And I got to tell you, I am an old-school football guy, and I hear everybody saying that the Panthers need to go defense. They need D-linemen. They need a defensive tackle. They need corner. They need safety. And Lord knows they absolutely need folks in that secondary that do better than they did this year. I mean, you know, the breakdown against Atlanta was an embarrassment to whoever was their secondary coach. But Coach Clark, and I'm going to call you Coach Clark for the rest of the show because we're talking football as you and I know it, and we're talking coach to coach here, and anybody that's listening, those that hung around, it begins and ends with your line of scrimmage. And I am convinced that with the running backs that the Panthers have, with the quarterback that the Panthers have, with the spread mentality that they want to do, if they were able to have five picks in the first two rounds, I would want to see them pick five offensive linemen. Now, I'm being a little bit facetious in that regard, but what I'm saying is it is that important, I think, in the development of the Carolina Panthers.